2018 didn't end quite the way we thought. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The Commerce Department revised GDP growth in the last quarter of 2018 down from 2.6% down to 2.2%, bringing down annual GDP growth to around 3%. Consumer spending pulled the numbers down. Guess we didn't spend quite as much on holiday gifts as we thought. Diane Swonk is chief economist at tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Good morning.
Good morning.
So real GDP was revised downward for the last quarter of 2018. What does that mean for 2018?
Really, what was notable was much of the growth we saw in the fourth quarter was front-loaded, and then we sort of decelerated as we went into the quarter. We saw downward revisions to consumer spending. Inflation was actually a little bit cooler than initially expected.
So if we were slowing down more than thought in the end of 2018, what does that mean for 2019, where we kick things off with a government shutdown?
We're looking at growth in the first quarter even slower than the fourth quarter at 2.2%. Everything from the government shutdown, the polar vortex, but also some jitters that we saw as a result of the scare we saw, particularly in December and November in financial markets, all had an effect on suppressing growth in the first quarter. We also had a big overhang of inventories. So we had two quarters in a row in the second half of 2018 where producers produced more than they needed. That sets us up for a slowdown right into the first half of 2019. Our own view is that we'll have growth closer to 2% as we end 2019, a full percent lower than what we saw in 2018.
Diane Swonk is chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Thanks as always.
Thank you.
On Monday, the federal tax credit for buying an electric vehicle from General Motors, that's specifically the Chevy Bolt or the Cadillac CT6, will drop from a maximum of $7,500 down to about $3,700. And a year from now, that credit will disappear entirely. This is because the tax credit begins to phase out under federal law once an automaker has sold more than 200,000 electric vehicles. The tax credit was introduced by Congress in 2008 to incentivize people to buy electric. Marketplace's Meryl Segarra reports it's been a good news, bad news kind of story.
First, the good news. Analysts think the tax credits worked. John Kaiser at the market research firm Ipsos says his team has asked U.S. car buyers why they bought electric.
Federal incentive is one of the top reasons cited.
And there's evidence that if you take the credits away, people stop buying electric vehicles. Mike Ramsey at Gartner says Georgia used to offer a $5,000 state tax credit to buyers.
Prior to removing it, Georgia was one of the highest electric vehicle sales markets in the country. And when the state removed it, it quickly and dramatically dropped off.
Now the bad news. Jessica Caldwell at Edmunds says electric vehicles still make up less than 2% of the U.S. auto market.
They haven't really been able to go particularly mainstream before these tax credits are eliminated. So it's kind of like the training wheels aren't ready to come off quite yet, but they are, whether we like it or not.
GM is the second car maker to hit this threshold after Tesla. I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
Britain's National Cybersecurity Center says Huawei is a cybersecurity risk. Officials are accusing the tech company of repeatedly failing to put in place cybersecurity practices, including ones it promised back in 2012.
My name is Jennifer Slabaugh from Columbus, Indiana. Make Me Smart and Marketplace are two of my favorite shows, both pushing me to think outside of my normal boundaries and making issues important to me that I wouldn't have considered before. I became a Marketplace investor because I feel it's important to vote with your dollar for media that makes a difference in the world. To join me as a Marketplace investor, donate today in whatever amount works for you at marketplace.org.
Lots of people don't like or want to drink for health reasons, religious reasons, money reasons, but they still like to socialize, and more bars and drink makers are accommodating them with non-alcoholic cocktails. Marketplace's Renata Sago has a story.
This is Southern Nights, a popular nightclub in Orlando. The house is packed with fans of drag queen Evie Oddly, who just ended a dance routine with a dramatic backbend off the stage.
The party has just begun. Go to the bar, get yourself a drink, and we will meet you on the dance floor.
David Thomas Moran's been coming here for drinks for more than 15 years. No alcohol for him right now, though. He's sipping some sugar-free Red Bull from a plastic cup.
Well, I would say that I'm, like, sober curious.
Moran cut way back on alcohol last June, swapping out gin for Diet Cokes and cranberry tonics, and $100 drink checks for $8 ones. The problem, Moran says, the drink options are a bit dull when he goes out.
There rarely are alternative drinks, you know, when you're out, so you can still feel like an adult.
Across the country, companies are trying to fix that by opening boozeless bars. Chris Marshall used to work as a recovery counselor. He started Sands Bar, with locations in Austin and Kansas City, as a place for people who want to have a good time without alcohol. Sands Bar sells new alcohol-free brands like Dry Soda Company and crafts its own mocktails.
Things like a rosemary and ginger mule, or a Sangarita, which incorporates lime, agave, and apple cider vinegar.
Marshall says Sands Bar is running some alcohol-free events in cities across the country this year. The company is hosted in St. Louis, Portland, and Alaska so far. Marshall hopes to go international. He sees a growing market in public health campaigns like Dry January for consumers who are cutting out alcohol for a month.
Dry January, which was just this kind of small inside baseball thing 5 years ago, is now a huge marketing opportunity for brands.
While it's easier these days to find fancy adult drinks that don't get you drunk, Darren Seifer of the NPD Group cautions that we shouldn't let this trend go to our heads just yet.
For anything to really start to move in food and beverage, you need to look over 5, even 10 years to see changes in the way that we fundamentally behave.
Meanwhile, booze-free bar owners are going strong. Listen Bar in New York City offers seasonal urban-fused drinks with names like She Pretty and Ghost Me Maybe. And a new beverage company called Seedlip debuted pop-up bars in Atlanta and L.A. this year. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
The potato skin snacks sold by TGI Fridays do not actually contain potato skins, which is why a New York woman has filed a class-action lawsuit alleging the chain misleads consumers. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.